Yes, we'll get loud.
Genesis 3:16. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception.
Amen.
In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That's the book. Yes, sir. Let's everybody be quiet. Amen. Amen. Somebody else, right quick. Glory. Amen. Boy, ain't them verses, you don't ever hear them verses on them smooth FM stations. Verses like that. Okay, Brandon. Amen. Amen. One more, right quick. Joe. Amen. I have nothing right quick. Nothing short. Anyone else? All right, y'all, you ladies, huh? That's that Bible, boy. It's balanced. Bible's balanced. I never did believe that verse was in the original. That's what everybody else does when they find one they don't like. Write you a version and don't put it in. 1 Kings chapter 10. And we're talking this morning. I like that verse Brother Thomas quoted there a minute ago. And I'm really surprised to see this big crowd here this Sunday after last Sunday. Last Sunday, I tell you, boy, it was awful. It was awful. But the Lord blessed us and we had a good day. And I preached last Sunday morning on the woman who couldn't leave the men alone. And then Sunday night on the man that couldn't leave the women alone. And I believe we got some things done here. I believe God plowed some hearts, and they've seen people live a different life this week after last Sunday. The Word of God, sometimes it hurts, but if you'll take it, it'll help you. If you'll take it, it'll help you. I can sit up here tonight, and I can preach, and you can say, I don't like that. I don't like that a bit. And if you'll take it, it'll help you. If it's the Word of God, it'll help you if you'll take it. Where people commit spiritual suicide is rejecting the Word of God. 1 Kings 10:1. And when the queen of Sheba had heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Solomon told her all her questions. There's not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there were no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. Mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, the half has never been told. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege and opportunity we have, Lord, to be able to bow here in your presence and call you our Father. We thank you for what you've done for us tonight. We thank you for the good fellowship, good songs of Zion, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, for the good singing, Lord, and being able to give tonight in this offering. Thank you tonight, Lord, that one day you loved us while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us on Calvary's cross. Our Father, tonight we pray that you look down from heaven, and Lord, that you may bless this service. Do what needs to be done, Father, we ask. I pray you bless those that are in the hospital and those that are in the funeral home tonight. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you might move on every heart here, save souls, change lives, and whatever and however you do for us, we'll praise you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Clean out our lives, Lord, tonight. Move out anything you don't want in. Put in what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, talking about this morning, we preached on the subject, if you weren't here, the half has never been told. And we said we'd continue this subject tonight here in the book of 1 Kings. That's where a theme from the Bible conference come from, this scripture here in the book of 1 Kings, where the Queen of Sheba had heard of Solomon, a type of Christ, and she come to prove him with all of her questions. She'd heard about Solomon and how rich he was, and she'd heard about his fame and his glory and his clothes and his cupbearers and his ministers and the house that he lived in and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. And she said, it couldn't be that good. I'm just going to go check him out for myself. I'll go see if this man Solomon is what he's cracked up to be. Well, she took her train here, and she got loaded up all her spices and all her gifts, and rode down there to the where Solomon lived there at the temple. And she came up to where Solomon lived, and she gazed upon that place. And there's just something about a place where God is that the people of the world can't match. And there she seen that God was there. He wasn't just a rich man. No, he had more than that. He had true riches that the world don't know about. He had the Lord God. Now, I'd rather have the Lord on my side tonight than to have all the riches of this world. Because one of these days they're going to canker and rust and not be able to do you a bit of good. If you had $1 million tonight and you was laying in the hospital about to die, it wouldn't help you a bit, not one bit whatsoever. Old Solomon had riches and the Lord. And boy, the Lord blessed him in a mighty way. And she came up to him, and she saw Solomon there, and she said, I ain't believing this. I just can't believe it. And she got to talk to him, and she said, I heard about you. I heard that you was great. I heard that you had a lot of fame and a lot of glory, and that you had great things around this place, and you lived in a wonderful house. I tell you, I don't believe the half was told me. Thy wisdom and thy fame exceed far above that I heard of you. And she made the statement, the half was not told me. Amen. I tell you, brother, that was a blessing that she made that statement. Now, being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, we can look into the things of God in the Bible and say that even though it's been preached, even though it's been sung about, even though they give out tracts and gospel messages, why, they talk about the Living Bible selling 50 million copies. Why, that's chicken feed, brother. The King James Bible's gone out into 800 million copies all over the world, and that is not in counting all the translations made from it. God's put this word out, and God's blessed it. The Bible said in the book of Acts, the Word of God grew and multiplied. And that's where you always know God's Word. It grows and multiplies. And you know what they've done? They picked up that Bible, it went to the ends of the earth, and the headhunters heard the old story, and Jesus was preached. And just think, you just think of the thousands of churches tonight where groups of young people were up here singing tonight and singing about one man. All those choirs were singing about one man. I tell you, brother, they think old Michael Jackson's hot stuff, and they think some of them big movie stars. I bet you they about 75 or 80,000 groups of people tonight gathered around singing about how great Michael Jackson is. Oh, sir, brother. And I'll tell you something else. They won't do it 5 years after he's dead and gone. I'm talking about a man tonight that they're singing about him. They print tracts about him. Those people love him, even about their own family and their own friends. I'm talking about a hero tonight that so far outshines the heroes of this world, they can't even know comparison. No comparison whatsoever. Now, what I've done this morning was I took two thoughts. And I said, the hype has never been told, number one, about the joy of the Christian life. And I believe that. There's no way that the hype, that they've never been told the hype of it, the joy that a man feels when he gets right with God. There's no joy in the world like knowing that your sins are forgiven. I tell you, brother, sometimes when it gets inside me, and I feel a little bit of the pomp of this world. Now, I know there's a few thrills out there, but it's nothing, it's not as deep as what God puts in you. I mean, don't go way down inside and spring up by itself. And brother, you know what that woman at the well done? She got chewing off, left her water pot and went off of the well. And that's what can happen to you when you get saved. Well, you know what? I talked about that. Then I talked about the half has never been told about John 3:16, just to recount for you that were not here or teaching Sunday school or something. John 3:16 and the sinfulness of man. I talked about how the half has never been told about how God spoke those better immortal words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You'll never be able to get all the juice out of that verse.
That verse, brother, has been put up on billboards and on bumper stickers and wrote on sides of prison walls and that are inscribed on places of this world. I heard about a man last night on a tape that was in prison, and brother, he didn't have no Bible, but it just so happens he had memorized a lot of the Bible, and when he's in prison he didn't have none but toilet paper. And he took some chalk and wrote down all the verses that he could remember on that toilet paper. He wrote down all the ones in Genesis he could remember, and Exodus, and Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and Judges, and Ruth, and 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings, on through. All the ones he could remember before he forgot it, he put those verses down on that piece of toilet paper. And he made him a toilet paper Bible. He said, that's right. He made a toilet paper Bible with Lee, and he'd read that Bible. And the Viet Cong would find out about it and destroy his Bible. He'd go right back to work the next day on another one and make him another Bible. And man, that guy got diseases and ringworms and everything else inside of his stomach. And the worms were so bad in his stomach. And what else kind of worms gets in your stomach? He got in there. And some of you smart alecks, I just put that in there for you. But you know what, brother? He said it not, those worms would crawl up in his stomach and go up through his esophagus, and brother, come out in his mouth, and he'd fill them in there wiggling around, and spit them out, and reach in there and get them, and throw them out, and he knew that he was dying. And brother, you know what he done in those dying hours? He still wrote them scriptures on that toilet paper. Hey, listen, brother, if you're in a situation like that, a Playboy don't mean nothing to you. If you're in a situation like that, Huxley and Marx and Shakespeare and all those things, Huckleberry Finn, don't mean nothing to you. There's only one book, brother. There's only one book that'll help you through a time like that, and that's a book that I'm talking about tonight. The half has never been told. There's been preachers preach this thing, but they ain't never got it all preached out. There's been teachers try to teach this thing, but they ain't never got it all taught. There's been people try to expound the Word of God, but they ain't never got it all out yet. The half has never been told. Well, let me mention a couple of things right quickly tonight, and I'm going to move right along. Let me say thirdly tonight, this is actually firstly, but it's thirdly counting this morning. So thirdly tonight, I want to say this. The hype has never yet been told about the life of Jesus Christ. The death of Him and throughout His ministry here, the hype's never been told of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It never has. I don't believe they've ever got it all told. Why, you say, I don't believe that, preacher. As much talk and as much radio programs and as much things as they got on TV and radio and a newspaper about Jesus Christ, surely they've got half of it. Nope. They ain't. The Bible said if they wrote all the books that should be written about the Lord, that the world itself could not contain those books. That's right. Now, the world itself couldn't contain them. The half has never yet been told. I like to think about that story there, brother, that never gets old, where it does, he come down there and he's prophesied way back yonder in the Old Testament. Have you ever wondered why those wise men knew that there was a star? You know, when they come to Bethlehem and said, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him? You ever wondered how they knew he's going to even have a star? And what kind of a strange star that must have been to have run across town there and stopped right over a certain house? That must have been an unusual star. Well, you go out there and you look at them stars in the world tonight, up there in the sky, and let's just see you try to run and get under one of them things. If you see a star right over yonder in the sky tonight, you could run from now to tomorrow morning, I mean, man, in a 70-mile-an-hour car, and never get under that star. Them things a long way off. This must have been an unusual star that marked the place of the Lord's birth. And so, that star went over there and stood over the place where the Lord lay. Now, you know what that star was? That thing was prophesied back by Balaam in the Old Testament. And old Balaam, that old prophet that was dumb, the Lord opened his eyes and mouth there. Old Balaam, you know what he said? He said he's going to come and he's going to have a star. And Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. If you know anything about 70 weeks of Daniel, if you don't, keep coming here. We'll study it pretty soon. And brother, I tell you, in the 70 weeks of Daniel, there are 69 weeks of those prophecies fulfilled. That's 483 years. That's 7 years per week, and the Lord would come. Now, tell what they've done. Those scribes had that thing figured out, and they had it figured out to within 2 or 3 years of when the Messiah would be born. They knew that he would be cut off, and they knew a man couldn't serve the temple until he was 30, so they figured 30 and come back this way. And they said, well, if he's going to be cut off, and then Daniel 69th week is going to end right up here, and the Messiah probably died right there, he's got to be 30 before God can make him a priest, and so he needs to be born any time now. And then they seen that star, and God began to pinpoint to them that it was time for the Messiah to be born. And brother, that Messiah was there, and that thing come over that cloud. They said, there it is. They were wise men. And they said, there it is. Well, it is. That checks out. In 30 years, he's supposed to die. It's about time for him to be born here. A man couldn't be a priest till he's 30 years old. It said the temple till it was 30 years old. And they figured backwards 30 years and said, it's time. Now, you know what that was? Those shepherds were out there on that hillside that night, brother, keeping watch over their flock by night. And all of a sudden, this preacher, I mean this preacher, who got his message off the altar, who got his degree around the throne of God, has got his brother. I mean, he had a GH degree, a ghost holy. And brother, he come down there, and he made a cloud under a pulpit, and he stood up there, and he said unto you, this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I believe about 40 million angels said, hallelujah! 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 And boy, they begin to sing about the birth of the King. How the half has never been told about the life of Jesus Christ. When he was young, brother, they'd see him dying when he was 12 years old. And man, he was startling the doctors and the lawyers. They went down there to Jerusalem. They couldn't find him. Looked around for him a little while and couldn't find him nowhere. And they got to looking for him. And they went back and found him in the temple answering the doctors' questions. And he even asked them some they couldn't answer. He had the Lord's wisdom on him, and he was, matter of fact, God in the flesh, and because of that, the half's never yet been told. Wouldn't you have liked to have sat there and listened to that 12-year-old boy, little Jewish boy, that never even been to school, I don't reckon, grew up in a carpenter shop, sat there and asked them doctors questions, see them scratching their noggins, and they knew Hebrew, and they knew Chaldee, and they knew everything they could think of, brother. They thought they was experts on the Word of God, and there come that little boy out of nowhere and told it like it was and got them all straightened out. I tell you, brother, the half has never been told. And then we see him silently there up until the time he's 30 years old. And then we see him there in his life. I've not got time to go over the whole life of Jesus tonight, but I tell you, you understand what his life was about. And I see him down yonder walking down the side of that bank, brother, that day. And old John had been down there preaching. He said, you better repent. He's a coming. And he'd get down there and baptize. He said, you better repent. He's a coming. Now the Bible said John baptized with water unto repentance. That was the baptism of John. The baptism of John was with water unto repentance, that they should believe on him that should come after him. And brother, the Bible said that old John put them under the water. And some of them come down there, and John said, well, what are you bunch of hypocrites doing down here? You don't need to get baptized. Oh, yeah, we do. We want to get baptized. Everybody in our town getting baptized. And he said, you ain't right with God. You ain't repenting. You get right with God, and I'll baptize you. And boy, some of them come down there, and old John just putting them under. Man, I bet he had muscles that big on his arm. Actually, he baptized all them people, and he just putting them under, and all Jerusalem and Judea come out there and got baptized. And then one day, how this down there, old John said, I got a little word of testimony to say before I baptize this next brother. He said, folks, there's one coming after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. And then some of them said, well, you're the Messiah. You're Elijah. He said, I ain't Elijah. He didn't know no better. He said, I ain't Elijah, and I ain't the Messiah. He knew he wasn't Messiah, but he didn't realize Elijah's spirit done got in him. And brother, he come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And brother, old Elijah's spirit got in John the Baptist. And he come, brother, and started putting them people under the water. And brother, he said, he's coming. And this man that's coming, I'm not even worthy to get down and untie his shoes. And they said, man, this must be some guy you're talking about. He said, it is. Oh, you ain't never met nobody like him. And they said, how are they going to know him, John? He said, well, he should be here just any day. I'll point him out to you when he comes. And then one day, they come down through there, and all of a sudden there's a man come walking down the side of the bank there. And old John looked up there, and he said, hop, hop, hold it, everybody, shut off the music, everybody get real good and quiet. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of all. He They said, there he is. And every eye was turned on him. And old John said, glory to God, looky yonder. You know, that's my job as a preacher. My job as a preacher is not to attract you to me. My job is not to say, look at here. My job is to get down and say, look at that, folks. Look at that. And if I do my job as a preacher, I'm a reflector to show you Jesus Christ, brother. I'm not here to build a ministry. I'm not here trying to build any castle. I'm here, brother, to tell you about Jesus. And if I can get you right with him, you don't have to worry about nothing else in your life. The heist never been told about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we notice how I told you this morning about how he went down there in the first miracle he... So I said, the first miracle he committed, the first miracle he done was in John chapter 2 when he went to a wedding. And brother, that was a type of the coming of the Lord there. You notice in John chapter 1, the first day something happened. And in the second day something happened. And in John chapter 2, you know what it says? And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, if you know anything about scriptural singing, that'll make you shout right there. The third day is a marriage in Cana of Galilee. You know, it's been 2 days since he's come and gone. We're in the second right now. You know what's coming up in a few years? The third day. And brother, there'll be a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And so, brother, they had that. And he went there and he turned the water into wine. And I told you this morning, I don't care how much wine you make, just as long as you make it like he did. Pure water and nothing else. Make 40 gallons, guilty, just don't use nothing but water. Amen? Yes, and I said, well, Jesus made water. Or Jesus made... I'm tired. Have mercy on me. He made wine. And they said, well, they said, well, it's all right for us to make a little hoops once in a while. No, it ain't. If you make it like Jesus did, it's all right. If you don't, it ain't all right. I'm telling you, brother, he done that. And then I want you to know not only that, he was able to forgive sins. There ain't never been a man walked on the face of this earth that was able to forgive a man's sin. No, no sir, brother. And I want to say something else. They still ain't. I know there's a lot of people running around here in Halloween suits. And just like mama and you got to call them daddy, and they claim to be able to forgive sin. There ain't a man on this earth can forgive your sins. There ain't a man on this earth that can act as a go-between, a mediator between you and God. The Bible said there's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Not the Pope and the priest and Pope Pius the 3rd and Hypocritical the 14th and all them. But it's just one man. One time I was in Florida, and we was down there on it. We met two little boys, and we was witnessing to them. They was about 14. And I said, you boys saved? One said, yeah. And I said, are you saved? He said, well, I was messed up the other day. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, we sinned, and the priest made us clean up all the papers in the churchyard before he'd forgive us. I said, hey, man, you don't have to fool with that mess. I said, you boys can get down here. About 800 million people in the world need to hear this. You can get down here and talk to God directly for yourself. You say, Brother Danny, I don't believe in talking about other people's religion. Oh, let me ask you what you believe about this. What would you say tonight? If they got up here and I said, now, anybody wants to, come around here and kiss my toe. What would you think about me if I'd done that? Well, you'd say you're crazy. Right. You're right. What about a religion that lets people kiss somebody's toe? I wasn't born to a church. That man kiss rings and stuff like that. That's sickening, brother. That's abomination to God. That ain't going to help you get to God. And down the house. I had somebody tell me not long ago. They said they'd walked through the house. I don't even remember who this was. I don't even remember where it was. I believe it was in South Carolina. I think it was. Somebody down there, and they said, every time they had little crucifixes hanging all over the house. How many of you like to see them things? They look spooky to me. And brother, he ain't on no cross. And they had him hanging out a little image of it, and they said when they'd go through there, they'd have to say, all this stuff. That ain't going to help you. That is not going to help you. Them little ball players on there before they shoot the free throws, you know. I used to see them on there, and they'll get on there, and they think that makes them religious. Well, that looks crazy. That's ridiculous. That's not going to help you in the sight of God. that there's no ritual. What if I said, now anybody that wants help from God tonight, come up here, touch your toes, do a push-up. You'd say, well, you're crazy. That's right. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. There's one God and one mediator. Between God and man, you get Him by faith. You don't do any exercises to get Him. You just get Him by faith, and the hype has never been told. You know what? I like those stories about Jesus that you don't hear much. I like that story over there where He got angry and sinned not. Cleaning out the temple, don't you? Oh, you say the meek and lowly? Yeah, the meek and lowly Jesus. I tell you, brother, you know what He done? He came in there one day, and the Lord came in. And here they were. And somebody over here was saying, give me $1. So, over here, and he's trying to sell hogs or ox and sheep and cattle and everything else. And they couldn't get those things auctioned off there like they wanted them. And boy, they just had the awfulest thing going ever was. And you know what? The Lord come in that day. And here He come. And they said, uh-oh, where's that guy we've been hearing about? What's he going to do? Come in here and preach to us? Tell us we're all going to hell? Why, this is our temple. We're worshiping. This is just the way we make our living. We're going to tithe off all this stuff. And the Lord come in here, and He had some of us set up over here, and they said, buy one of our cupcakes. And buy a donut or something like this. And the Lord, He got over here in the corner. And He got over here in the corner, and He started making him. He's over there working on something. And they said, "Look, he's going to set him up a booth." And brother, he was not very ecumenical. He would not join the ministerial association. He would not. He ain't going to meet. No, no. They said, "Come on over here. You want to join us?" He said, "I'm going to join you in just a minute. Just wait just a minute. I'm going to join you." They said, "Come on over. We need you. Might help our influence." And boy, he's over there, brother, and he's winding him up a big rope. And after he wrapped that thing around his arm, and he come through there like this. And boy, the look on his eye, they knew he meant business. And he said, "How dare you? My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you turned it into a merchandise place. You've made it a den of thieves, you bunch of crooks." And boy, he kicked over their table. And we're like that. What would happen to a person nowadays if he acted like that now? What if you went into some of these great Christian conventions, National Christian Booksellers Convention or something like that, where I had all the stuff and the hippie music and everything in there, and you just went in there kicking over tables, knocking over my... Man, they'd have you in jail and no time for. That's what the Lord done. And He said, "You ain't going to do my Father's house like this." He said, "I ain't going to put up with it." Now listen, friends. You're not supposed to be a smart aleck, and you're not supposed to be mean. But there's some things worth fighting over. And God's house is one of them. I'm not looking for a fight. I don't want to fight. I don't understand fight, to be honest with you. But I'm telling you tonight, if I come in those doors back up, and there's a bunch of kids in here, and there was discoing, and there's over here a boogieing and trying to break dance and act a fool, and brother's over here doing this and that, I'd get mad! I'd turn pews over, I'd knock something over, I'd say you ain't gonna do that in the house of God! The highest never been told of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could walk right up to the man and say, "Your sins are forgiven." Just like that. Half has never been told. Well, a lot of things. Nobody ever spake like that man spoke. They said, "Not a man spake like that man." Well, let me say that quickly tonight. Number four. The half has never been told about the blood of Jesus Christ. The half has never been told. I love sermons on the blood. I love to hear a preacher preach on the blood. You know why? Because I know if it wasn't for the blood, old Brother Danny would be a goner. I know, brother, if it wasn't for the blood that cleansed my sins away, there would be no hope for me whatsoever. That man at his best state is altogether vanity and lighter than nothing, brother. They're nothing. Man is nothing. If it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, why, the half's never been told. The half has never been told. We're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Thank God, that's the only way to have in peace with God. I always like that meaning of the word justified. You know, when God saves you, you are justified. And the word justified means just if I'd never sinned. You did it, but it's just like you happened in the sight of God. That's right. Brother, it's just if I had never done it to start with. You say, "Well, I didn't." Yeah, you did too. You did it. But it's just as if you didn't in the sight of God. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we're justified. The Bible said in the book of Romans, much more now than being justified by blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. You know why we're not going through the tribulation? You know why we're not going to have scars break out on us and brother have the water to turn to blood, brother, and see the Antichrist and the demon come out of hell and have the marks on our skin because we're justified by the blood of Jesus and the hype has never been told about the precious blood of the Lamb.
There's two words that make me want to shout about every time I hear them. One of them's blood and the other's grace. See, when I first got saved, I thought, all right, oh God, and I'd pray until I felt that I had made up for what I'd done. You ever done that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt guilty about doing something and you feel like, well, I got to make this up. I really got to do some hard praying. You know, it's going to be hard to make this one up to God.
Yeah.
And really what you're really trying to do is pay for your sins. That's an insult to the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I don't think we should treat sin lightly or flippantly. But then on the other hand, you don't try to pay for them either. They're already paid for. And brother, I'd come to the Lord and I'd say, oh Lord, forgive me. Oh Lord, forgive me. And when I felt like I had chastised myself enough, I'd say, well, He's forgiven me. And I'd go pretty good for Lord. I'd say, glory to God, I ain't never going to do that again. Amen. And it wouldn't be 3 weeks so I'd mess up again. And I tell you what really gets you is when you tell the Lord you'll never do something again, turn right around and do that very same thing. I know you good people have never done that, but us sinners have had problems. There's a lot of good people in Maine wouldn't understand what I'm preaching. But all of us sinners know, don't we? Don't we, sinners? And boy, I tell you, and you say, I ain't never going to do it again, Lord. And man, for the days, though, you sorry, low down, good for nothing sinners, we've done it again. And say, oh God. Oh God, oh God! And boy, you go for a while and go for a while and you say, whew, well, I've atoned for that one. You don't say that, but in your mind that's what you think. And I beat my brains out trying to live right. Man, I'd get down the floor and meet the floor and thank God I'm trying to eradicate myself. Thank God I didn't turn into a monk or something like that. That's how people turn into monks. They do. They think if they punish the flesh enough, that it'll atone for the sin. And so they wind up sleeping on a hard log or something for 20 years and living in darkness and they're trying to pay for the sin. That's blasphemy.
Amen.
How do you think God feels when His Son from down here and shed His blood for your sin and then you try to pay for them? Now, there's extremes you can go either way. I'm not just saying, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, covered by the blood and go on sin. We're not supposed to have that attitude. But then on the other hand, we're not supposed to say, oh boy, I got to make this one up to you, Lord. I'll make it up to you. I believe God's interested in us trying to make anything up to it. I tell you what God's interested in. Faith in that blood. Faith in that blood. Faith in that blood. When you believe that blood was shed for your sin, brother, that takes care of it. And one day, thank God, it dawned on me. And it's several years ago. And man, when that thing hit me, I thought, glory to God, that was a secret. I'd see these people, and every time I seen them, it looked like they were right with God. And I was busting my brains out trying to live right and getting meaner every day. And it seemed like I'd try to do right, I'd do worse. And when that thing hit me, that's the secret right there. And I said, what? That song meant something to me then. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. And I remember I was carrying around a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, and I was carrying around a lot of things that I shouldn't have been carrying around. And boy, I got to the place where I just thought I was living under condemnation. Now, if the devil can get you living condemned, he's got about you hooked right there. Because you won't witness and you won't anything. You say, I can't witness. I'm a hypocrite. See, if he can get you feeling guilty. Now, he may not work on you like this. One of the biggest tricks the devil plays on me is make me feel guilty all the time. And believe me, I do. I feel guilty all the time. And I should, really. But sometimes the devil will make it worse than God really wants you to have. I'd rather go a little bit overboard on feeling guilty than I had like some of these people never let anything bother them.
Amen.
Just live like a devil and it not even bother them a bit. I got more respect for a holiness brother that thinks he loses it and gets it back 50 times a week.
than I have some of these Baptists that believe in eternal security, which I believe in, and just live like a devil and saw grace of God take care of it.
Amen.
Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! God forbid! You just, and listen, here's the right attitude. You say this, and boy, I've had all kinds of guilt heaped on my shoulders, and I said, oh my soul, what am I going to do? And there's an old country preacher got up and preached. Never will forget him. And he got up and he said, now some of you sitting there, boy, he's talking right to me. Now, I don't know how many people was there. He said, some of you sitting there and you're worrying yourself to death about that sin you committed last week. I said, oh, that's me. And he said, now, I know what your problem is. He said, what does the Bible say in 1 John 1:9? If we confess it, God's faithful and just to forgive it. And I said, yeah, I know it, but that just don't seem like enough. And then he said something that hit me. He said, God said it, didn't he? Well, then if God said it, quit your worrying about it and take God at His word and shout about it. He's forgiven you. Did God say in His word, if you confess your sins, He'd forgive you? All right, then what are we doing carrying around guilt over things we done 5 years ago or 6 years ago? And hey, man, if it's under the blood, it's gone. And brother, he can't bring it back. He can't bring it back. It's in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. And I kept on says, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far in the darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. And I tell you, brother, we need to sing those old songs and just get back to the basics of this thing of the blood of Jesus. Washing our sins away and said, praise God, I see the Lord. I'm glad to say tonight the highest never been told about the blood of Jesus Christ. I heard this story a long time ago about how this young man and his old young in the palace over in England, and brother, that palace was a rich sire, and the guards were out marching back and forth. Back and forth with a gun in front of the palace in England. And brother, that little boy, rich kid sitting back there in the back end of a limousine with his mama. And that thing had red tinted glasses in that window, old windows in that car. And that little boy looked back up there and he said, Mama, why did them soldiers change their uniforms? And she said, I don't know what you're talking about, son. She said, they got on the uniform. He said, no. He said, they got on white uniforms today. They used to wear red. She said, no, son, they got on the red uniforms. They are right there. And he said, no, Mama, they got on white uniforms today. And she said, no, son. And you know what he's doing? They had on red uniforms, but when you look through that red tinted glass, it's that red, it made it look white. And did you know if you take something red and look at it through a red tinted glass, if that thing looks white? And he said, they got on white uniforms. Boy, when they said, looking through that red tinted glass, I heard that, I thought, glory to God. Amen. That's what the Lord does to me. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. And here we are, all them sinners, in our state, where we And people see us mess up and say, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. But you know what? God sees us through the blood of His Son. Yeah. And when God sees you through the blood of His Son, you are just as white as that light right there. Yeah. Because your sins are gone. Yeah. You say, well, I'm low down, I'm good for nothing. Yeah, but ain't you glad He's got that blood looking through that? Yeah. And then if He sees you through the blood, you're spotless, you're sinless, you're perfect. Brother, you're white and snow. He said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Oh, if it snows tonight, I tell you what, man, I like a snowman, and I look out at that snow and say, that's what color I am in the sight of God. I like that, brother. I like that. Ain't you glad? All the old filthy things you've done gone. Well, underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. Thank God for that. Amen. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. Never to be mentioned again. You say, what are you so happy about? They've done a lot of sins. Wow. You, man, you are in the midst of a bunch of sinners tonight. I kid you not, brother. But you know what? Bring God the sort of thank God for what He
showed.
I remember over there in the Old Testament when Adam and Eve sinned there, God killed the animal. I believe it was a lamb. It don't say it was. I believe it was. God shed the blood of the lamb, covered Adam and Eve. And then when they got over, it took a long time to get up there before the law come in. And when the law finally come in, God said, kill this, kill that, kill this, kill that. Man, they'd bring them blood of them bulls and them goats there. And boy, they'd shed that. There ain't no telling how many millions of animals died during the time of Israel. Back there in the Old Testament, those blood was shed. So you know what the book of Hebrews said? The book of Hebrews said, it is not possible. You listening? It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Now the key to understanding that thing is in two words, take away. Now you get you a concordance and you take your Bible study and you look at them two words, take away. Take away. Now you say to Brother Danny, why'd God do it? Well, they kill them blood, them bulls, them goats, and you know what that done? That temporarily covered their sin. That blood of bulls and goats never took away one man's sin, brother. No! Not one man's sin. Not one man's sin. You say, how do you know that? Because just what I told you while John the Baptist said, when he seen him walking down through there, he said, there he is, the Lamb of God that what? Taketh away! Taketh away! Taketh away! The sin of the world. He said, it's not possible the blood of bulls and goats to take it away, but you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. In 1 John the Bible said he was manifested to what? Take away! Take away! Take away our sin! And brother, thank God, he didn't just cover it, he took it away! All gone. Threw them in the sea of forgetfulness and put up an old fish and shine so the devil couldn't drag them back up again. Amen. Revelation 1:5 said unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Well, lastly tonight, let me say this. The hype. Look out now, Christian. The hype has never been told about heaven. It ain't. Hype's never been told. Hype's never been told. Utopia, brother. You know what millionaires in Hollywood really, really want? You know what they want? They want heaven. The reason they can't have it is because they're not willing to quit their sinning. They think they can buy them one and build them one down here. Can't do it. Matter of fact, man is always trying to get back what Adam and Eve lost back there in the garden. Because you can't do it, brother. We've done messed up. We're sinful. You ever notice when you go into a restaurant or a hotel, they give you this garden effect? Plants hanging everywhere. Water going... You know, and all that. You know what that's trying to do? Make you think you're in the Garden of Eden, what Adam and Eve had. Let that sink in on you a minute. They're trying their best to get what Adam and Eve have. That's why they won't run around naked.
They're right.
See? And they don't even know that's in the Bible. They said, boy, Adam and Eve laying on the bed of Lindy's man and had everything made and they're running around naked and they just had the nudist colony and all that. There's only one problem. They done it sinless.
Amen. Right.
You can forget it after sin come in. That messed it up. That ruined the whole thing right there. But I tell you what God done. He let his son come down here and die, take him sins away, and we're going to wind up getting something a lot better than that in the long run. Glory, glory, glory. Bliss. The presence of God. No thieves. The Biltmore house. Who are you trying to kid, brother? We're going to live in a place to make Biltmore house and garden look like an outside toilet. Hey, man, I wouldn't waste my time getting dirty walking in South Fork. Brother, we're going to have a mansion, and we're all going to have a mansion. If you got the right Bible, you get a mansion. If you don't, you get a room. That's right. That's what the other new Bible says. In my father's house are many rooms. But I tell you, brother, if you got the right Bible, you're going to get a mansion. And I tell you, did you know what the Bible says about it? That city of God is 1,500 miles that way. 1,500 miles that way. 1,500 miles that way. 1,500 that way. A 1,500 mile square city. You could set that thing down on the whole half of the United States. Oh, that ain't too big. Hey, what are you talking about? Did you know you can take everybody in the world and lay them down side by side in Jacksonville, Florida? That's what they said. I mean, I couldn't prove that, but nobody can't prove you can, I don't reckon. They said Jacksonville, Florida is a big place. I mean, you probably 30 miles of city limits. And they say you can take everybody in the world and lay them down and they won't even touch each other in Jacksonville, Florida. Now you talk about a city that has
1,500 miles every way, and not only that, you're forgetting one thing, it goes 1,500 miles up. Son, that's a whopper, brother. You think about that. They say this. Now listen, somebody figured it up, and they said in a city that big, you could have 5,743,759,000,000 rooms of solid gold, 19 feet square by 16 feet high. There ain't been a 50th of that many people ever in their life. You talk about a city, brother. A city. Glory to God. But if God will open up our eyes and let us see heaven tonight, would everyone want to go commit suicide? We'd go drive and run the road and say, whenever you want to take me, Lord, whoa! And then we've got to hit a car head on and everything else. We didn't want to get there so bad. I believe old Carl Brother over there when they stoned me. I believe that's when he was called up to the third heaven. I don't know that. Most people believe that. And it may not have been, but I believe, brother, it fits good anyway. When they stoned him over there and they thought he was dead and they carried him out to city, that might have been when God called him up. And he went up to the third heaven and he didn't want to come back, man. But the Lord said, go back down there, Paul. And when he got back down there, he said, I got a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Let's read. Did you know God only put one or two chapters in there for creation and about three or four chapters in the Bible in Revelation describing our new city that we're going to live in? Oh, friend, don't get tangled up in the things of this world. The highest never been told about heaven. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 22 there, and we'll read it to you before we close tonight. Revelation chapter 21, and we'll look. Excuse me, at this city. And we'll look at what God is going to have for us there in this city of gold. And the Lord here shows us here in Revelation chapter 21. And the Lord shows us there what it'll be. And he said, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. And he's going to have us descending out of heaven from God. Verse 10, having the glory of God. Verse 11, and a light was like a stone most precious, even a jasper stone clear as crystal. And he had a great wall high, 12 gates. 12 angels, which are names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the north, east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, or south gate, or north gate, whatever it is. And on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations in them, the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and and the gates down the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length from the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, and according to the measure of the land, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. Think about that. Like under clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. First foundation was jasper, the second of sapphire, the third of chalcedony, the fourth of emerald, the fifth of sardonyx, the sixth of sardius, the seventh of chrysolite, the eighth of beryl, the ninth of topaz, the tenth of chrysoprasus, the 11th of jacinth, the 12th of amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all but day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Here's a good verse, glory to God. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Amen. 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 No liquor stores will be there on the streets of gold. I mean, brother, no ABC stores, no booze joints, no honky-tonk strip joints, a filthy little terror, brother, and cussing and lying, and old nasty slums and cities and knife fights and rape and robbery and murders and homosexuals and all those things. There won't be there that they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The highest has never been told about heaven. Oh, I wish we'd sing that old song maybe tonight. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. Bible conference coming up. Let me encourage you to just
get there like a sponge every night and soak in every bit you can. Preachers, preach it. Singers, sing it. Deacons, deke it. Do whatever you can do. For the half has never been told. Brother John, you come. Sister Kathy, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. While we get a song ready, we're going to let you go in just a moment. Can we sing that one? Have we got it? Sweet by and by. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you're not ready to go to heaven. I didn't even scratch the surface tonight. No, I didn't even scratch the surface. Maybe there's somebody here tonight say, Brother Danny, I'm not going to heaven. I need to get saved. You ought to just walk out of your seat tonight and come down here to this altar and get things right with the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray, Lord, that you'd move on this congregation tonight. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, if you'd put a real hunger and desire, God, that everyone here would want to serve you with all of their heart. I pray for that teenager struggling, for that man, whoever, here tonight not saved. I pray you'd deal with them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. What page is it?
350.